it gives me great pleasure to introduce you to the KPN Advisors and KPN Health. And Kim Pachanek and Don Navarro are the real leaders of this organization. They are also members of North Texas Healthcare Think Tank, and they are personal friends. They've done a lot of crisis management in their day. They're also big on data analytics. We're not going to get so much into that right now, but what they're doing right now is they represent accountable care organizations, and they have, you know, and we all know that ACOs they consist of a lot of smaller physician groups. And so needless to say, they're doing a lot of management in that regard with helping them to keep their businesses open, like so many of us want to do too. Many of us on this call are considered small business. So we want to hear from them what they're doing. And we also have with us Gene Hicks, who has been with them forever and ever and ever. So he's going to be co-facilitating too. And with that, I do want to say one other thing. So when we get to the end of this, I don't have to say it. We've got, don't forget that we have the meeting on Wednesday. That is a lunch meeting. So you are allowed to eat on screen if you should so desire to do that, like you would if we were in a regular meeting. And it will be 11:30 to 1. We've already got, 60 people signed up for that one. So it's going to be a big meeting. Okay, with that, I'm going to introduce you to Kim Pachanek. She is the CEO of KPN. Kim, take it away.
Linda, thank you. I want to thank you and Melissa and Malcolm for this afternoon, for your professionalism, and for letting us have this 45 minutes with your team. You can see on the slide, we do have Don Navarro. He's our executive chairman. Myself, CEO, Don and I are calling in from Dallas. Gene Hicks, our Senior VP, Chief Commercial Officer. Gene is calling in from Charlotte, North Carolina. And Michael Platt. Michael is the President of KPN Management Partners, which is our the advisory side of the house. And Mike is calling in from Austin. What I would add to your introduction, Linda, is that our client base, it is a bit more expansive than just ACOs. It is hospital systems, clinically integrated networks, primary care, and specialty groups. When President Trump announced that the U.S. was in a state of disaster back on March 13th, we rallied our mid-management and our management team that weekend and the weekends that have passed and have shifted almost our 100% focus in helping healthcare entities go find these emergency funds that they need to protect their employees and to keep their doors open. So with that, and again, I'm very sensitive to time, I'm going to turn it over to Don Navarro.
Thank you, Kim. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yeah, but we don't
yes.
see you. Well, first, I appreciate the opportunity. I will try to be as brief as possible. I want to add to what Kim said that finding available funds is just a part of the equation. It is also leadership at this point. And what I mean by that, when companies get into crisis, as other industries have, you know, oil and gas have had pipeline blowups and people killed, airlines have had plane crashes, and I can go on and on. But healthcare has never had this type of disruption. So when the disruption occurred March 13th, as Kim said, we rallied our troops immediately and went into a crisis management mode. Not for us so much, but for the benefit of our clients. We knew that we had had this experience, and we just surmised that maybe there were just a lot of practitioners, businesses, hospitals, et cetera, ACOs, that had just not had this type of experience. To know how to redirect yourself and focus upon what is out upon you at the moment. Start by saying, first of all, this is not anything about panic. It is about recognizing what you have to do to stay in business. And so just think in terms of people generate all your business, all your revenue, and all your expenses. It's a people business. And so that's the first and foremost, how do we keep our people? So what do we do? What do we need to do? What are the challenges that we're facing now? You know, examples, do we have bank covenant issues? Well, maybe yes, maybe no. Do we have vendor issues? You know, do we have landlord issues? How do we identify the things and prioritize things that need to be dealt with immediately? So what happens in crisis management is you go away from your traditional manage-for-profit business model, and you get into identifying short-term things with the notion that cash is king. So you know, where's my 13-week budget? You know, what am I going to do? How can I project my cash needs? And then how kind of do I make that, extend that cash? And then you know, how do I deal with prioritizing my people? Well, one of the cardinal rules in crisis management is leadership. And, you know, leadership is pulling the piece of string, not pushing it. It's communication. So break the model of email. Get on the phone and talk to your people or call them together to the extent you can in this environment. Follow up your communication with email. People are sensitive and they're smart. They want to hear your inflection. They want to hear if you really believe what you're telling them. So it's just so important to have that level of communication in this short-term environment. Now, the objective, of course, is to create an action plan that is short-term that ultimately morphs back into your business model, the one that you had before, in this case, March 13th, but also understand there will be a new normal. So as you start to morph back into that business model that you had, you know, you just understand that it's going to change also. And in this environment, it's really going to change a lot because people are working from home and many of them thought, I'd never do this or it wasn't possible. So you're going to see all kinds of ripples that are out there that range from landlords being in trouble, vendors being in trouble. And so it's really important as you think in terms of your short-term plan, action plan, that you think and be sensitive to the key vendors that you have and talk with them also because there may be some things you can do together to help them survive also. Last thing you want to do right now is to establish new vendor relationships. So I would just say high level, you know, leadership is everything. Communication is key. Identification of the short-term issues that you're facing. And do not necessarily manage for profit. Manage for preservation. And that's what you really need to do at the moment. And it takes a different mindset that you have to leave that traditional, you know, way of doing business, flash reports and all. You've got new things you have to check. And new things you have to monitor in the short-term situation. Emphasis again, people, people, people. That's what this short-term environment is about.
Don, thank you. And what I'd like to add is, and I actually had this conversation with someone this morning, let me back up just a moment. This presentation is healthcare focused. Because we believe that the audience here is primarily healthcare, so that's number one. Number two, specialty practices, primary care practices, a lot of accountable care organizations, and a lot of health systems, especially the rural community hospitals, they all qualify as a small business. And so you have the owners of these practices and health systems, they're not thinking that way. So they have the opportunity as a small business to go get the emergency funds that are available to them through the SBA, and then of course also the money that's available to them from the Health and Human Services that's coming in another direction. So I just, Gene, I'm gonna turn it over to you, but I think it's...
Excuse me, Kim, before you hand that back to Dean, let me make one point. Yes, by all means, go for the money that's available to you, and if you meet under the PPP program, if you need the usage criteria, essentially all of it can be forgiven with no taxable tax-free. So it's definitely worth going after. But don't become too comfortable with that, because that money is just designed for an 8-week period. And so it's an opportunity to breathe a little life into your business, but you have to do things concurrently with that to manage your action plan. You know, don't be lulled into this money is going to be the catch-all. No, you need it. It's available. By all means, take it. There'll be some more money coming behind it probably, but you have to run parallel with the crisis management plan also. It's not one or the other.
No, very good. Thank you. And to Mike, it's my final comment to what I was saying earlier, is that we are seeing now, I think we all receive alerts every day, hospital closures, laying employees off, and that shouldn't happen, not this soon. Not if the key decision makers within these hospital systems, rule or non-rule, if they have an understanding of where and how to go get the emergency funds within the stimulus bill. So with that, Gene, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Great. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Don. So welcome again, everyone, to this webinar. We're glad to have everyone. As this crisis started to unfold, KPN began to understand that this was truly something that had never been seen in the healthcare industry before. And a lot of you who are not aware of KPN might not know that many of our top professionals come from outside of healthcare. And so most of us have been through crises similar to this many, many times before, and are very used to managing through these types of situations. So as we sat down as a team and started to ask, what is it that we can do to help our clients and the industry, we came up with several of the things you see here on the screen. Because it's so new to healthcare, we find that a lot of healthcare companies, whether it's large systems or whether it's small individual, one-man operation practices, they stalled. They didn't know what to do at the beginning. And so every minute counts in a crisis. And so if what we're designed to do here today is to kind of make you aware of the different things that you need to be thinking about. We don't have time in a few short minutes today to go through into details about everything that you need to be doing. But if you're at least aware, then you'll be able to address these items in time, and you'll be able to reach out to those that can help you if you cannot do it yourself. And hopefully everyone will come through this crisis in a really great way. So the very first thing we're going to do is talk real quick about accessing funds. Now that we're several weeks into the crisis, a lot of you have probably already started to look for available funds. And so we'll just make you aware of some of the ones that are easily and readily available for you, and some of the things and stipulations around them, just a few things so you'll know whether, you know, that these are things you can go for or not. Then we're going to talk a little bit about managing the funds. Once you get the funds, what do you need to do with them? How do you need to maintain them? And there's some really nice features to these funds that you'll be accessing. For example, there's loan forgiveness on the payroll protection program. So you want to make sure that you manage the funds in a way that keeps you eligible for that loan forgiveness. So it's not automatic. You need to make sure you do the right things. And then we're going to talk about a plan. And we'll talk about the plan in two different areas. One, stabilizing your company. And then two, a little bit later on, planning for exiting the crisis. Because how you come out of the crisis can be just as important to you in the long term as how you deal with the crisis itself when you're in it. And then we'll talk in detail a little bit about stabilizing and about communication. Communication is paramount in a crisis situation. And then we'll end up with a little bit about leading because in a crisis situation, you need to be driving your outcome, not waiting for it to happen. So on accessing funds, most of you have probably heard of the Payroll Protection Program. If you have not looked into this program yet, you need to do this right away. There have been many thousands of companies that have already applied. There are, best way to say it is, the flow of the funds has just started. So we are aware of a few companies that have already had the funds deposited in their accounts. We expect that to really ramp up over the remainder of this week and into next week. You'll need to talk with your banker right away. If you do not have a banking relationship established, you'll need to find a bank that is SBA approved. This program is backed by the SBA and is being managed by the SBA. The SBA traditionally has very particular ways that it deals with its customers. And a lot of that has not changed in this particular program. So things like using the appropriate form and making sure that everything is answered on the form and making sure that you do provide all of the documentation that is required by your bank as the bank administering the application. These are things that are really, really important to get down the very first time that you apply, because if you can imagine with this many thousand people applying, you don't want to get put into the basket of needing more information. You want to have everything that you need together and presented with the application when it's requested. Then there's the HHS Direct Loan. We call this internally the $100 billion hospital loan. And so this is designed specifically to cover COVID-related expenses. And so the limitation is not, you don't have a 500 employee limitation here. And there are many different types of expenses that can be covered in this. It is managed by the department, by the HHS. But the main thing to remember on this is that it's a rolling program. So as you go through the crisis and you accumulate these expenses, you want to aggregate them, document them, and keep them together, and you'll have the opportunity to apply over and over again in the program for the funds as you expend them. Very, very important. The Payroll Protection Program is a one-time shot. You calculate your loan amount and you apply for it, and then you would get that. Assuming you calculated it appropriately, you'll get the money. The HHS is going to be a rolling as you're incurring the expenses. So again, this is something that if you're a hospital and you have not looked into this yet, you need to look into it right away. You need to work with the banker or the administrator of the loans to make sure that you are applying consistently and timely and appropriately so that you get the funds that you're requested.
Gene, this is Kim. If you don't mind if I could just jump in quickly. There was a question in the chat box that someone had asked, do rural hospitals know that they have access to emergency funds? And I can only speak from my own experience. Over the past several days, I personally have talked with different associations in different states, and they're literally flying blind. Their focus is on finding protective gear. Their focus is primarily on the clinical side, and it's not on the financial side. And I think, Gene, you can echo this, that you and I and others on the KPN team, when we're on the phone, even with hospital systems and very large ACOs, it's not where they're focused. They're not focusing on the next 30, 45 days, and how do I keep my door open?
Exactly right.
Well, let me comment. This is Don. One quick comment. This, my experience is, if you've not been through crisis management before, been in these circumstances, then you really don't understand the sense of urgency. And the sense of urgency is, on a scale of 10, it's a 12. And the quicker the healthcare industry can understand the sense of urgency, not panic, but sense of urgency, and then refocus, then you'll get more of that understanding, you know, how the financial piece fits in. Because as you go through a crisis management plan, you know, what is priority one day may be different 2 days from now. So different topics, there would be finance, clinical, or whatever. Anyway, back to you.
Moving on, another type of loan that is available for most entities is the economic injury disaster loan. This is a longstanding SBA program that's been around for quite a while. But in the CARES Act, when it was passed a couple weeks ago, they provided for a new aspect within this loan program, which is the $10,000 emergency grant that has no repayment requirement for it. Again, timing is of the essence here. I read this morning that over 780,000 people had already applied for this loan, the $10,000 loan. So if you're not in line yet, you need to get in line very quickly. again, no repayment on the $10,000 portion of that loan. If you meet the requirements and are eligible, meaning that you have had other type of distress activity happen to your company other than just payroll, for example, the payroll protection loan, you may fit within the economic injury disaster loan program. And that can qualify for quite a bit more money as well. Again, this is within, it's a currently existing SBA program. So this is worth looking into as well. And then we wanted to mention also the Medicare advance payments. If you are taking Medicare patients, then you can apply to get a speedy, immediate payment of the billings for the Medicare patients that you've billed in the prior 180 days leading up to April 3rd when the CARE Act was passed. So again, this is not giving you something that you're not already entitled to. It's just making the access to it very quick and getting it to you much, much faster. This is obviously can be very meaningful to many organizations, but it also is something that you need to be very careful with, because these are funds that you would have received in the normal course of your business. They're just being advanced quicker. And so that means they're not going to come later. So as we move through the crisis plan, you'll see how this can be very important in your evaluation of whether to go for a loan or these advanced payments. And finally, there are some other programs that have been put forth. The Federal Reserve is backing $600 billion in the Main Street New Loan Programs. These are designed for your middle market, bigger companies, so companies with fewer than 10,000 employees. And also less than $2.5 billion in revenue for 2019. So you can be quite a bit bigger and qualify for these loans. You must have operations in the U.S. And there are two sizes of the loan. They're both under the same program. And so you can look into this loan if you qualify as one of those larger entities. So managing your funds. So once you found a program and you have some money flowing, again, this would be emergency money helping to keep you and your company alive, the doors open. The first thing you want to do is consider segregating these funds. As Don mentioned earlier, using the payroll protection program as an example, the money must be spent in the first 8 weeks following your receipt of the funds. And so you want to consider segregating these funds. Some banks, if you did not have a banking relationship with them already, are requiring that you open a new account. So you might consider opening a new account where you house these funds and distribute these funds from that account. If you decide to just put them in your regular account, you want to make sure that you are accounting for them separately and specifically. You want to look at the total that you receive for these funds and budget accordingly so that you spend them in the required time and so that you continue to meet the loan forgiveness requirements. So at the beginning of this program, it was being touted that at least 75% of these funds would be forgiven as long as 75% is spent on payroll. And that is, again, the payroll protection program. Those funds are also eligible to be used for your commercial leasing or your mortgage, but also for utilities in your business. But again, the goal was to keep employees on board and keep them paid. And so the bulk of those funds need to be spent on payroll. Well, you want to make sure that you spread it out accordingly and evenly if you can, and that you document very specifically where these funds go. So that leads to the documentation bullet you see here. We want to make sure that you document very well where each of these monies go so that you can leave a very clear audit trail. So when you apply, for example, for the payroll protection program, you certify that you will provide all of the documentation for the 8 weeks following your receipt of the funds later on so that you can prove where you spent those monies, and then that will in turn be used to determine your eligibility to have the loan forgiven or some portion of the loan forgiven. Plan. So this is the first plan that I talked about, which is the stabilization plan. So as you're entering this crisis, there's a lot of uncertainty. There's no, you might not have any idea. We don't, any of us have any idea how long the situation may last. So one of the first things you want to do is look at the two very important areas of your company, the operations and the administration. And so the first thing under operations is to decide, is there work that you can continue to do? So just being a healthcare organization doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have work. As we all know, many of the specialties have had to stop doing elective procedures. And so, for example, one of my best friends is a gastroenterologist, and his business is down 80% over this last several weeks. And it's mainly because the elective procedures are not happening. So you want to decide, number one, is there work that you can continue to do? Then you want to understand, how can I provide these services? Do they have to be done on site, or can I do them with telehealth? If I'm going to be doing these services, what supplies will I need? And what clinical staff will I need in order to provide the services? If you're going to be doing telehealth and you haven't done telehealth in the past, you may need to access a program. There are some very elegant and fantastic telehealth programs that you can get for free. The state of North Carolina rolled out a free telehealth program just last week, which is available actually across the country. And it can be signed up for by a provider online, and you're up and running in a matter of minutes. This is a very straightforward and simple type of solution. You would still continue to use your own EHR to document, but it does provide you a way to continue working. If you're doing telehealth for the first time, maybe, or even you've been doing telehealth for quite a while, but doing more of it, you may need to have technical support staff. So you want to think about, what are all the things that I need in order to continue operating? And you'll take those things and then check out your cash and your staff and understand, where do I stand with these items so I can start to begin to put a plan together and understand, how much cash will I need? What staff will I, do I even have the available staff? I know of examples here in Charlotte where there were staff that were, they were not coming to work, not because they were not allowed to come to work, but because they were afraid to come to work. Your employees will also be scared during this time, and so you need to understand exactly what staff you'll have available. If you find that you can't do all of the services or as many services as you were doing before, you need to understand how to furlough your employees. You need to understand if I'm going to keep them on a limited basis, how much you can pay them. And on either side, you need to be able to have resources to support them as you're furloughing them or if you're paying them a reduced salary. Stabilization. So once you've decided the activities that you think you can do, you need to take and understand your cash on hand. So you're going to evaluate what cash I have, what cash I have coming. If you've been approved for one of these access to funds areas, then you'll know and include those funds as well. Again, use the example of the payroll protection program. You want to understand how quickly I need to use the funds. That will figure into your cash flow projection that you see on the right. We typically advise that you create a 13-week cash flow projection. I know that sounds a long time, but we've already been in this situation for over a month, and many places much longer than a month. And so 13 weeks can go very, very quickly. What you'll want to do with a 13-week projection is take the activity that you've decided on in the prior slide and create a budget. How many people will I need? And how much revenue do I expect to earn? And how quickly will I receive that revenue? And use that to figure into your cash flow projection. And from that, you'll have a complete work plan. On the evaluate side, you also want to understand what are essential services. First, is your business an essential services? Will you be required to be open either by your clients or by the government? And if so, how does that figure into your cash flow projection? Will you be losing money? If you'll be losing money in the long run, how do I make up for that later, whether it's through the government or some other access? And then finally, you want to look at the expenses that you might be able to defer. So even though you're in business, you may, or continuing to provide services, you may find that your commercial lender will allow you to defer lease payments, maybe to the end of the year or to the end of the lease even. In a crisis situation, you'll find that there, many times vendors will be much more flexible and that there will be other options for you that you wouldn't normally have in a regular situation. Other expenses to defer, it might be possible to defer utilities. For example, in North Carolina, the governor issued an order that no utility services could be cut off during the crisis. So almost by de facto, the businesses were given a reprieve on some of their expenses, whether or not they choose not to pay them on time or not. Communication. Once you have a work plan, it's going to be vital that you communicate with all aspects of your company and your business. First and foremost is your employees and your contractors. So your employees will be looking to you to understand that you have this covered, that you have a plan, and that they will be secure as they move through this crisis. You'll find that employees and your contractors will both be much more amenable to changes in their work environment, to changes in their terms, whether those be the service terms or the payment terms, if you communicate with them often and if you're absolutely upfront with them. In a crisis situation, you want to make sure that you're honest and upfront with everyone you're dealing with, because you're going to get the best reaction and the best response from everyone. Your patients. Your patients are also going to be scared. And especially as the patients have services that are really required that can't be put off, they want to know, how do we engage our doctor? How are we able to come in? If I come in, will it be safe? And all of this requires really good upfront communication with the patients. So there are many applications available to assist you in this type of thing. If you do not have a communication process in place with your patients, this is something that can be set up very quickly. And so it's something that you really need to consider, both in the stabilization and during the crisis, and as you'll see a little bit later, as you start to come out of the crisis. Your vendors, it's very important to communicate with your vendors. Let me pause, is there a question? Great.
Gene, I'm sorry, Gene, this is Kim. I just received a note from Linda, just sensitive to time, we have just a handful of minutes, and there are many more slides, and hopefully we can even continue this with another webinar. But Linda thought, and I certainly agree with her, that now would be a good time to take questions and to get into a dialogue.
Okay.
Okay, Linda here. Why don't we take down, are you willing to share the PowerPoint presentation? And okay.
Absolutely. And this was the last, Linda, if you don't mind, this was really the last of the activity slides. The next slide, okay. Leadership slide, which is important, but I think this one, if I can take just 2 minutes here. Once you start to come out of this crisis, you want to come out of it in the right way. It means you want to access all the available revenue to you. If you are a practice, you may not have been doing all the things that you could for a patient. Maybe it was just because of your practice workflow, but you need to take this time to look at how your workflow and how your office works. And you can even apply some practice transformation techniques during this time so that when you come out, you can access all available revenue. You want to prioritize high margin services to the extent you can. You want to coordinate with the health system that you're a part of, if you're part of a bigger system. And then you want to outsource things that you can outsource. And so there are many third-party vendors that provide outsourced lower margin types of activities. And you should look into all of these because you want to maximize your revenue as you come out of the crisis.
Okay. And
second is, I was just talking also about communicating to patients. You want to reach out to your patients. You want to bring them back in. You want to tell them the type of services that you want to do. Don't take for granted that the patients are just going to come in for what they want. You should urge them and market to them the type of services that you want to provide.
Okay. Why don't we take down the PowerPoint and get people up on the screen, so if anybody's got some questions, it's more personalized. Okay. Anybody have any questions? Please speak up. No questions?
Gene, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, this is Rosemary. I have a question for you. The economic injury disaster loan, I mean,
yes.
I'm assuming that this is only for healthcare businesses, correct?
Yeah. No, it's available for any business.
Anybody.
Regardless?
Yes.
Okay.
Regardless.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yep.
There's one person on this phone call, on this conference, that has already applied for it. You just go, and it's not me yet, but you just go to the Social Security .gov, and you'll find it there.
Thank you, Linda.
Yeah, and Gene, I can send out a link for that. I did apply for that, I think, like
it
on
was
the
one
second.
Person.
And I did get a notice yesterday, and I haven't checked it out, so I don't know if this is accurate, but they're changing the $10,000 to $1,000 per employee up to $10,000. Of what you don't have to pay back.
Yep.
So not as great a deal for a lot of the solopreneurs like myself, but still available to really help somebody who's got employees.
Yes. But my understanding is it's not required to use that $10,000 on payroll. That's really used.
Right,
for
right.
Yeah.
They were just overwhelmed with the number of people who applied, and this was a way to limit and make sure enough got out to enough people.
Yes.
Yeah.
And One more, you said, Linda, just to make sure, this is socialsecurity.gov. That's where you go for this one.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And another thing that you ought to know is so many of us, we are doing, you know, we have contract labor. That does not apply under the payroll program. Right? Is that right?
That is correct. The independent contractors, your 1099 employees, are eligible to file and apply for the loan themselves directly.
Okay. Any other questions?
No, just a supportive comment that I help a company, and that is absolutely correct from what I saw as well. They're able to get for their employees, but not their 1099 consultants.
Yeah. So, and Brad, you've been saying a lot of good things. Do you have anything else to comment on? I've seen you in chat. Brad Monahan.
No, I don't, Linda, except I can share with the group that the payroll protection plan does not apply to governmental entities. So a lot of our hospitals in Texas are hospital districts, and that program is not available to them because they're governmental entities. Now, the rumor is that if we get around 4 of a CARE Act, that we're hopefully the governmental entities will be scoped into that program, and then they will they'll be able to borrow those funds through the SBA like non-governmental entities can. But right now they're not eligible. The part that they are eligible for, there's $100 billion that was earmarked for healthcare in the CARE Act, and $30 billion of that was actually distributed on Friday to 6,000 providers across the United States, which means that in addition to hospitals, it includes physicians or physician entities and probably nursing homes as well. And so I know I had a client, they got $900,000 in the direct deposit in their account on Friday.
Happy day for them.
It was a good day for them. And then the other program that is available is if you have a Medicare provider number, you can get an advance payment. And there's an application process that you go through. But those, they applied for that a week ago Friday, and they got those funds on Thursday. And that was several million dollars.
Wow.
Now the catch with that money is that on day 121, after you receive those funds, you will continue to get Medicare remittances for Medicare services that you're providing, but there will be no cash associated with those claims. They will begin on day 121. Recouping the amounts that they advanced you here in April.
Well, and you represent so many of the public hospitals in the state of Texas, so you must be really hitting on the Medicare thing.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
This is Todd. Could you just name that program? It was $30 billion and 6,000 providers got the funds, but what was the name of that?
Medicare.
Medicare.
Okay. Any other questions? We're going to call an end to this. Kim, if you could, can we post telephone numbers for like calling Jean or you or Don?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll be sure that you have that contact information, Linda, as well as a copy of the slide deck.
Okay. All right. Any last questions? If not, we will call on it, unless you would like to stay on. Any of you would, if you're willing to stay on, but if you do have to go to something else, please feel free to, and let Jean know what else you might want to hear about if you want to continue on this call.
Linda, I can post our telephone numbers if they want to hang on for a minute.
Okay. Because
Dr. Potter, it was a pleasure seeing you looking so well.
Who is that?
Dr. Potter, Bob Potter.
Oh, yeah. Where? Let me find him. Yeah.
No, that's okay. I was just...
Yeah.
I wanted to just ask what KPN proposes to do. Are you selling your services? I didn't catch your role in this.
Good. Very, very good question. Don, you want to take that?
Sure. Our view is, Bob, that no, we're not trying to sell services. We are available to provide the services. We view that our country is in crisis. We're all in it together. And healthcare is a major, major piece of that. And we are very nimble. We happen to have, you know, the healthcare side, the business side, a deep experience in crisis management, and not talked about on this call, but let me also mention that the CARE Act amends the bankruptcy amendment that was put in place for Chapter 11, February 19th of this year. So it makes for those who are in a situation who just really feel that they need to or should to take a Chapter 11 business reorganization, it's much easier and much more attractive inside of this, the amendments now to the Act. So no, we're not out trying to marketing. This is not a marketing call. If someone hears and thinks they want help, we're open to talk to them. This is not our model to go out and try to sell and into this environment.
Okay, well, it did not come across as a selling presentation.
Well, it was by design. We didn't want anyone to feel like we were trying to sell anything.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else?
Well, I think just if I could add just one thing to that, Dr. Potter, to add to what Don said, that again, if you go back to March 13th, the declaration from President Trump, and when we met internally, we knew very quickly that the viability of our clients and the viability of the healthcare industry was to our viability. And outside of healthcare, you know, we do have that crisis management and that leader experience. So we felt it, we actually put that upon ourselves to share that expertise with our healthcare clients. And again, it's to their helping them understand the crisis that they're in and how they can come out on the other side. They all have their lawyers, they have their accountants, they have their bankers. And again, I don't want to ramble here, but hopefully I've been able to answer your question and add to what Don said as well.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, folks. We will, did you get that KPN, there's Gene's number? We didn't hear from Mike, but he's down in Austin. He comes to all of our meetings down there and in San Antonio. But, and he's equally as knowledgeable in this area. And then I don't know that we've got Kim's or Don's information, but we'll get it to you.
Absolutely. And Linda, you can see the numbers at the bottom. For Don, his extension is 6910. I'm sorry, Don's extension is 6911 and mine is 6910. And again, we'll provide that to you through email.
Okay. All right. Okay, folks, thanks very much for being on this. And why don't you take down the PowerPoint, and we'll see a lot of you on Wednesday. And hopefully you found this advantageous and helpful for what you're gonna tell clients to do. I see Tammy on here too, and I know you're dealing with that a lot, Tammy, you've gotta be. And so hopefully this will prove important for you in directing your clients and possibly using it for yourself. So have a pleasant Monday and we'll see you on Wednesday. Thanks very much, KPN. You did a great job.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda.
Malcolm, Melissa, thank you. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you. It was very helpful.
Bye-bye.